unconditioned the mind completely, wipe away all the illusions, all the desires and so on, can that insight completely wipe it out?
Yes.
Or is it partial?
Well, you see, I think the first point is that, see, if we say that the mind is not static, that, see, when one says it's totally conditioned, it suggests something static, you see, which would never change.
Yes.
Now, if we say mind is always in movement, then it seems in some way it becomes impossible to say what it is at this moment. You see, that we could say it has been totally conditioned.
No, let's say, pardon. Suppose I'm totally conditioned.
Mm-hmm.
It's in movement.
Yeah.
But the movement is within a border.
It's within a border, yes.
Within a certain field.
Yes.
And the field is very definitely marked out.
Yes.
It can expand, it can contract. Mm-hmm. But the field is, the boundary is very, very limited, definite.
Yes. And also this whole structure can die away, you see. If we try to move within that structure, then we stay in some boundary.
It is always moving within that limitation.
Yes.
Can it die away to that?
That's the point. That's another kind of movement. I mean, it's a kind
yes.
of...
Yes.
In another dimension, I think you've said.
Yes. And we say it is possible through insight, which is also a movement, totally
yeah.
different kind of movement.
Yes, I mean, but then we say that movement does not originate in the individual, right? Did we say that? Yeah.
Yes.
And,
yes.
Or nor in the general mind.
It is not quite right. Yes, that's what we discussed the other
yeah.
day. It is not a particular... the inside of a particular, of the particular or the general.
Yes.
We are then stating something quite
outrageous. Yes, I think that, looking at that, it rather violates most of the sort of logic that people have been using, that say either the particular and the general should cover everything, you see, in terms of ordinary logic. Now, if you're saying there's something beyond both, this... is already a question which has not been stated, at least. And I think it has a great importance. And,
how do we then state it, or how do we then come to it?
Yes, well, you see, I've been noticing that I think people divide themselves roughly into two groups. You see, one group feels the most important thing, the ground, is the particular, concrete particular daily activity. The other group feels that the general, the universal, is the ground.
Quite.
See, one is the more practical type and the other the more philosophical type.
Oh, yeah.
And in general, this division has been visible throughout history, or also in everyday life, and wherever you look. And now...
But, sir, is the general...
Yeah.
We can discuss a little bit... separate from the particular?
It's not, but I think most people agree with that. But the question is, what is it that's going to be given primary value? You see, people tend to give emphasis to one or the other, right? That some people give the main emphasis to the particular.
They say the
general is there, but if you take care of the particular, the general will be all right.
Yes.
The others say the general is the main thing, and the universal, and getting that right, you'll get the particular right.
You're quite, quite, quite.
There's been a kind of unbalance to one side or the other, a bias in the mind of man. Now, what was being raised here is the notion neither the general nor the particular.
That's right.
And then what?
That's just it. Can we discuss it or have a conversation about it logically, using your expertise, your scientific brain and all the rest of it? And there is this man who is not all that, so can't we have a conversation to find out
mm-hmm.
if the general and particular are the one, not divided at all.
But also that neither, there's to be no bias to one or the other.
One or the other, quite. Not laying emphasis on one or the other. Then, if we don't do that, then what is?
Yes.
What is there? I don't know if I'm...
Yes, well, then what is... we have no easy way to talk about it.
Yes.
But we did discuss, I think, in California, the ground. And the question was, we could say the particular mind, we said, dies to the general or universal mind or to the emptiness. And then saying that ultimately even the emptiness and the universal die into the ground.
Yes, that's right. We discussed that.
I think that's a kind of lead-in to see that...
Would an ordinary person who's fairly intelligent agree to all this, all this?
I'm not sure.
Or he said, what nonsense all this is.
Well, if it were just thrown at him, he would reject it as nonsense. It would require a very careful presentation, and some people might see it, I think. I mean, but if you just say it to anybody...
Of course.
Say whoever heard of that.
So where are we now? Wait. We are neither... particular or the general.
Yeah.
That's a statement which hardly reasonably can be accepted.
Well, it can. It's reasonable in the sense that if you take thought to be a movement rather than a content...
Thought to be a movement, we agree to that.
Then the thought is the movement between the particular and the general. You see that...
But the thought is the general, thought is the particular.
But thought is also the movement.
Yes.
So in the movement it goes beyond being one or the other. That is, in moving...
Does it?
Well, it can. I mean, I said that ordinarily it does not, because ordinarily thought is caught in one side or the other.
That's the whole point, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ordinarily... The general and particular is in the same area.
Yeah. And either you fix on one or the other.
Yeah, but it's in the same area.
Yeah.
In this same field. Now, and thought is the movement between the two.
Yes.
Or thought has created both.
Yes, and it has created both and moves between
them. Between and around it.
Around and in that area.
Yes, in that area. Now, and it has been doing this for millennia.
Yes, and most people would feel that's all it could do.
That is all it can do. Now, we are saying the when thought ends, that movement which thought has created also comes to an end.
Yes.
And therefore, time comes to an end.
Yes, we should go more slowly here.
Because
you see, it's a jump from thought to time. You see that... I mean, we've gone into it before, but it's still a jump.
Because first, sir, let's see. Thought has created the general and the particular, and thought is a movement that connects the two. Thought moves round it, and it is still in the same area.
Yes, and doing that, it has created time. Which is part of the general and the particular. You see, time is a particular time and also a general time, all time, forever. And it sees this particular time in the whole of time, you see.
Yes, but you see, thought is time.
Well, that's another question. You see that they were saying that thought is about, we were discussing that thought has a content which is about time. And besides that, we said that thought is a movement which is time, that it goes... It can be said to be moving from the past into the future, right?
But thought is based on time. Thought is the outcome of time.
Yes, but then does that mean that time is that time exists beyond thought? You see, if you say thought is based on time, then time is more fundamental than thought. Is that what you want to say?
Yes.
Yes. So we should go into that. you could say that that time is something which was there before thought, or would you put that? Or at least it's at the origin of thought.
Time was there when there is the accumulation of knowledge.
Now, well, that has come out of thought to some extent.
No.
No.
No. I act and learn.
Yes.
Right? That action is based on not previous knowledge.
Yeah.
But I do something,
yes,
and in that doing I learn.
Yes, well then that learning is registered in the memory.
In the memory and so on and so on. So is not thought essentially the movement of time?
Well, we have to say, in what sense is this learning the movement of time?